After we landed, Dan and I watched a few more flights, and by the time we got home, my father had no doubt that I was going to become a pilot. A few things about that pilot. Clyde had over 43,000 hours of flight time in his career, which is probably still a world record. He never had a crash, injury, or fatality, and he amazingly flew into his early 90s. He died in 1992 at age 103 and was someone I called friend. He was just a good guy. If that was not enough to sink the hook into me, a few weeks later, the Marine Corps exhibition flight team flew in for a show. They flew the open cockpit F-4B-4 types, and they had four of them. Later, I trained on those aircraft and came to know all four of those pilots when they were senior officers. I learned that Marine Corps aviation is indeed a very small world. 2 years later, I took another flight when my cousin and I flew with a barnstormer named Billiter. He flew a biplane, a two-seater, and gave rides. His plane was not exactly the airworthiest in appearance. That hooked me. I was going to be a pilot for sure. But things can happen that just dropkick you, you know? Life can be very unfair, whether in peacetime or in war. A major rain and lightning storm rolled in one day when we were working at my Uncle Frank's. I was taking the tractor to the barn, so my dad left, saying he would meet me at home. I parked the tractor out of the storm and was driving home when I saw Dad's car on the side of the road. I stopped and saw that he had been electrocuted by a downed electrical wire that touched the car. He was dead, and there was nothing I could do. Another driver pulled up behind me, and we pulled my dad away. I started artificial respiration, which I knew how to do, but it did no good. My world fell apart at that moment. It was really the glue in the family. That was the worst day of my life. My mother took my dad's death really hard, but her stoic nature would not allow her to openly grieve. She just kept doing the best she could while Cliff and I threw our weight into making things work, plowing, fertilizing, harvesting, you name it. The work did not stop because Pop was gone. It just meant that there was more work to do. I was never a stellar student, and there was no danger of my becoming a scholar. I just knew that as soon as possible, I wanted to leave that farm. But then I had a guilty conscience, knowing that would leave my mother struggling even more. I was torn between my dreams of flying and my obligation to the family. Things became hard for us in many ways due to the Great Depression. Those with farm animals and crops would be expected to fare better, but we had a long drought that ruined farming. We had windstorms that just obliterated the topsoil all over the Midwest. This combination of events created John Steinbeck's masterpieces. He wrote about the times we were experiencing, and although they were fictionalized, everyone could relate to the characters in his books, which I read with a clear understanding. I was living it. Despite my dismal high school performance, I enrolled in Augustana College in Sioux Falls. I had to earn the money for school, so I worked at a meatpacking plant. I also worked at the filling station, doing basic car work and pumping gas, and worked as a janitor at the church, and I still repaired those windmills on occasion. I even boxed and did pretty well in the ring. I won quite a few fights and tried for the Golden Gloves competition. My first big fight was against this guy who knocked me down a lot. I ended up getting knocked out of the ring and landed on a press reporter's typewriter, of all things. I did not have a clear recollection of how I got there. My bell had been rung a few times, and I had a broken nose. When that picture made the local paper, I decided that being a professional fighter was not really my calling. I spoke to Jimmy Doolittle about that a few times, as he had done the same thing. He was just better at it. He told me that he had to fight under an assumed name because his mother would have had a seizure if she knew he was fighting for money. I even worked as a bouncer at an illegal casino. I was doing well for the time in the wages I was earning, but the hours were long and I was always tired. My schoolwork suffered and I was failing out. The dean suggested I stick to farming, so I left school. I still worked the other jobs and even picked up the saxophone and played with a band. That paid better than the other jobs combined, but I still wanted to fly. The next big job was when Cliff, Mom, and I worked clearing roads of snow for the highway department. That was the winter of 1935-36, when the temperature dropped to 40 below zero, and sometimes even colder for long periods of time.